back. You, of course, are listening to Davin's End. On the break, you were listening to Mr. Wusa, and that song was called Little White Kid. That's he's actually a comic buddy of mine, Amaru, also a filmmaker. He sent me a film, which I want to check out, about foster care that he made. It's called, what's it called? I forget what, Annie Was a Liar, something like that. I want to check that out and possibly get him on the show, because that's a pretty interesting topic.
Is it a serious, like, documentary film? Wow.
Yes, I want to check that out. But, yeah, talented guy. Before we went to break, we were talking about another one of my patented hell gigs. and a hell gutter gig for Mr. Helix's coworker.
Yes.
So we'll get a little bit more serious now. You know, I didn't know if we were going to cover this initially, but I think, you know what? It's such an interesting topic, this whole Bo Bergdahl thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of fascinating the way the parties line up to dig in with this, and it's not really cut and dry. So what we're going to do is I'll lay down the facts. I don't know if everybody knows the facts. Bo Bergdahl, of course, is the soldier that we just traded for with the Taliban to get back. So we'll lay down those facts, and we'll discuss it. And then U.S. Army veteran Sergeant Joe Padula will be calling in, and I'd love to get Joe's take on that. So we'll get that. So, first of all, Rolling Stone magazine did an extensive piece on Bergdahl in 2012. So, if you have not read that yet, I would read that after the show.
It's a really good in-depth piece.
Did you read the piece?
Yeah.
So just Google Bergdahl Rolling Stone 2012. I pulled some of the facts from there. Some of the things they said about Bergdahl is he wanted to be like the special forces.
Yeah.
Like, he was that type of guy. He applied for the French Foreign Legion and was refused. The French Foreign Legion is basically for, like, people that are outcasts in their own country.
He said, lay no.
Yeah, they said, lay no. So you said,
lay no.
Lay no. To put it this way, Abbott and Costello were able to get into the French Foreign Legion.
I would use that on stage.
Yeah.
Well, clearly the shit I've been using it works,
Don't do it the next time in the city.
But the French Foreign Legion turned Bergdahl down.
Right.
So he was...
there might have been extenuating circumstances why, but I guess we'll get into
that. As Joe said, they said, le no.
Le no.
He was granted a waiver to join the U.S. Army, so that means originally he wasn't going to be accepted, but they grant waivers for, like, drug addicts or people with prison sentences or people that aren't...
He was? I thought they were talking about others.
No, he was.
Oh, okay.
And about 20% now of our military is in on waiver.
Yeah.
So the waivers allow former convicts, drug users, and others that in the past would not qualify to join the Army. So it's like I said. He was part of a unit that was not very good. By all accounts, they had a lot of issues. And they were not ready to go into Afghanistan. But this was in 2009, which is when Obama had the surge in Afghanistan. So they went over to Afghanistan anyway, when perhaps if there wasn't the need for so many boots on the ground, so to speak, they might have continued with their training. Because their unit was struggling, at least according to this Rolling Stone article.
Right.
Which, as far as I can tell, has been the most expansive piece on it. Now, while he was over there... People close to what?
Trucker Tom says, I think the Yankees made a shitty deal. Bergdahl for 5 Taliban and 2 draft picks.
And a terrorist to be named.
He's not even a 200 hitter. He's good.
Trucker Tom's good?
Yes.
Great, you've encouraged him.
I'm sorry. I won't do it again.
No, I guess Trucker Tom will be third.
And then Tebow's going, take me, I'll go.
Bergdahl's got a better arm.
Yeah.
I'd rather see him quarterback the Jets.
He's supposedly very good. Bergdahl
be the only quarterback where the offensive line wouldn't block for him.
Yeah.
You get him, sack him, and then we'll pile on.
Yeah.
Anyway, so people close to Bergdahl died over in Afghanistan.
Yes.
And the general competence of his unit... caused him to grow disillusioned. You combine the people that he's close with dying, and there was just problems with the chain of command. They went out on a mission that was supposed to be a certain amount of hours, and it wound up being days because the higher-ups, according to this piece, could not make decisions.
They basically couldn't get a muffler order.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. But
no, but that's essentially
what
it was.
Basically, they couldn't get a part.
Right. They didn't know what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
So, and Bergdahl was out. So he's growing more disillusioned. He was unhappy there. He felt lied to. He actually wrote home to his folks and said that sometimes he was ashamed to be an American.
Yeah.
And this has come out of late, too. Now, he disappeared from his base where he was on lookout. He was on a lookout post, and he left many of his possessions behind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, story surfaced that he left on his own volition. It's not 100% clear. We haven't heard from Bergdahl yet, which is part of this. But the people that were in his unit, the people that served with him, that seems to be the story that's come out thus far and came out years ago.
Yes.
It's been consistent since he went missing. He was captured by the Taliban, and it was the only U.S. captive. The Taliban put out videos over the course of the past 5 years. He was in captivity for 5 years, and this is the only soldier they were able to capture. Mm-hmm. By accounts, six servicemen lost their lives searching for Bergdahl because, you know, they obviously wanted to find him. Our military, since the Revolutionary War, has had a policy of no man left behind.
Yes.
So we gave up five Taliban who were at Guantanamo for Bergdahl. So let me play you, because I don't know if everybody knows because, you know, you hear about Guantanamo Bay, and some people go, well, they're just people that have been there since 9/11, and they don't know what to do with them yet. They can't face charges. Because there's the argument that there's some of those people there that are not that bad.
Right.
And then there's these guys who we gave up for them. Where is it? Here we go. Let me just turn that up.
As we have reported here, this was all part of an exchange, the White House agreeing to let those five detainees leave Guantanamo Bay. Who are they and where will they end up? ABC's Mohammed Leela reporting in from Pakistan tonight. They're some of the highest-ranking Taliban commanders in American custody. So dangerous, they've been held at Guantanamo for over a decade. Among the five men, Mullah Fazl Mohammed, the Taliban's former army chief. In 2008, a leaked U.S. Army report labeled him high risk, saying if he was released, he would, quote, likely rejoin the Taliban. Another, Abdul Haq Wasiq, helped run the Taliban's intelligence ministry during the Reign of Terror in the 1990s. The Department of Defense describes him having, quote, direct access to Taliban leader Mullah Omar. He was so high up in the hierarchy, he used his own home as a safe house for other militants. Even if all five detainees stay in Qatar for a year under the deal, critics in Congress and beyond are sure to pounce, asking if the price was just too high, releasing terrorists who could someday, once again, put more American lives at risk. Mohammed Leela, ABC News, Islamabad, Pakistan.
Okay. So we didn't give up nobodies to get Bergdahl back. We gave up some very dangerous people.
And five of them.
Yeah, five of them.
Well, maybe Trucker Tom's wrong. Maybe Bergdahl is a high prospect.
it's just astounding while he did that. Now, also, my nephew, who is a retired colonel in the Army, also was an Army Ranger, posted something on Facebook that I saw on Sunday before I really knew the story in depth.
Right.
And essentially, he posted what some of the people in the unit, his unit was saying, and Davin touched on most of it, but he was saying, yeah, that he deserted. The lost men trying to find him. He just simply walked off. They found a Taliban kid that saw him walk off towards the Taliban. Mm-hmm. And what they're saying is God knows what secrets or stories. He probably gave up positions.
Don't say we don't know. He may have. Don't say probably.
But may have.
He may have. Yeah. So there's a lot of controversy. Now, there's also controversy about what the president did. Because the president, there's a statute that says legally he's supposed to confer with Congress, give them 30 days notice. President Obama says he's been talking to Congress for months, saying that there's a possibility that this deal could happen. I've even heard legal experts say that if that statute would be challenged, it would probably be held as illegal as constraining the powers of the executive chief.
Mm-hmm.
But Congress is up in arms because they feel like they weren't consulted. Now, with this Congress, I wouldn't consult them either. I mean, this Congress sucks. Democrat, Republican, they suck.
They suck.
But, you know.
As a unit.
But the president has said there was no time for this. You're negotiating with the Taliban. There was really no time for this. And they say the impetus to get this deal done now was they were afraid Bergdahl's life was in jeopardy.
Well, they were also afraid that there was going to be a pulling back of the forces that are in Afghanistan, and that the time was ticking, that this was going to be the giving back these Taliban in because if we were going to take the forces out, there was something about we were going to be releasing people from Gitmo anyway. And so this
that
particular bargaining chip,
well,
that's
wants,
what they said at Rolling Stone.
He wants to close Guantanamo Bay.
Right, but they were saying that the time might be ticking on this this bargaining chip guys.
Well, the president has said, he said it all over the place, the war is winding down.
Yes.
Well, on our end, the war is winding down. The Taliban has certainly given no indication.
He made a gross error.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get into it and everything. Because there's a lot that goes into this, and that's the thing that bothers me when you look at these right wing pundits, you know, criticizing the way they are, because this is not an easy decision. So let's really get into the nuts and bolts of this.
Yeah.
It's not cut and dry the way these guys would like it to be. And that's what bothers me about the coverage. Because honestly, I wouldn't want to be in that situation. So, as Joe said before, and I touched on, you're hearing the soldiers are not happy with this, which is why so much I want to get Sergeant Padula's response on this. But the soldiers are not happy with this. Now, his hometown, they're ecstatic. A lot of people who are not military civilians who may not know all the details are ecstatic. This is a very polarizing thing. Susan Rice then went on the Sunday morning shows and said that he served with distinction, mm-hmm. which, by all accounts, he did not.
No, as a matter of fact, I think they're bringing him up on...
They might bring him up. Joe's saying they might bring him up on court-martial. Again, they're getting this guy readjusted and everything. He doesn't even know English anymore. So the Pentagon has said there is a chance that he will be brought up on court-martial charges. The Pentagon, mm-hmm. to their credit, is saying we're going to reserve judgment. Unfortunately, a lot of the soldiers, a lot of the media, a lot of the congressmen are not reserving judgment.
Yeah.
So, you know, I credit the Pentagon. So I looked at it like this waiver thing struck me as the thing that's not really getting any play. But to me, it's the perfect example of why these waivers are not good and a perfect example of what both administrations, Bush and Obama, have done to our military. With two wars, Obama got us out of Iraq, fine, but he did have a surge in Afghanistan, whether you approve it or didn't approve it, fine. It means more boots on the ground. It means more countless deployments for these soldiers. You can't keep on using these people up. So now you're accepting people that in the past... They're subpar. And this guy was one of those people. So it's not, if he would have, even our best soldiers, and I've seen it in their eyes, and we all know with the PTSD and these horrible stories, our best of the best snap and become disillusioned and everything.
Yeah.
So for me, it's not really that much of a surprise that somebody who was wavered in would grow disillusioned and wander off and do what really, you don't hear a lot of stories about. There's a few.
Yeah, I mean, you don't hear that often, but that's because this is absolutely what you're not supposed to do.
Well, I mean, listen, it takes a special type of crazy to go, you know what, Afghanistan's a pretty place. I'm going to go for a stroll.
No. And you know where he was heading?
To the
Pakistan. That's where he was heading.
Well, that's where he wound up.
Yeah, he was, I'm going to take a little jaunt over here and go over that hill and go straight into Pakistan. I really wonder about his mental health at that moment.
Right. So you're wondering about this guy that wandered off.
Yeah.
Now, true or not, I mean, this is what soldiers were saying, that, you know, he wandered off. He went towards the Taliban. There are reports or accusations that he wanted to be part of the Taliban. And there's also accusations what secrets he may have gave up if he knew them. He did put lives in danger, so on and so forth. So we have a guy like that.
Yes.
Now, in times of war, and it's been said, there is no negotiating with the enemy. So we want...
No negotiating with terrorists, not
with
the
terrorists,
enemy.
With terrorists, all right. Well, okay, I didn't know I was terrorists are my pals.
No, but there's a difference.
No, but that...
There is a... We do negotiate... Obviously, you know, when you want to end a war, you have to negotiate with the enemy.
We'll roll on the negotiation with terrorists, okay?
Yeah.
So now we have this guy that was known to be a problem.
Now, before you go on with this, the precedent has been set. We have negotiated with terrorists, but Reagan did it.
Yeah.
I mean, we have negotiated with terrorists. It's fun to say, and we like to say it, but... I'll see who this is.
Okay.
It's Reagan. Wayne. I didn't know.
Hello, welcome to Davin's Den.
Yes, the Den.
Joe!
Hey, it's Sergeant Padula. Hello, Sarge. How are you?
Oh, man, let me tell you, it is really good to hear your voice. That is for sure.
It's good to hear you, too.
Good to hear you, pal.
Were you listening into our conversation?
No, I just got off of the air myself, and I'm like, you know what? I got to call Davin. I got to talk to the den.
You didn't fall off my roof recently, did you?
She doesn't know what that means.
I know. I'm sorry.
You
that was
see,
for you
You
guys.
Can see Pip hasn't changed.
Yeah.
Did she ask if I got roofied?
Pip doesn't need to roofie you, please. You hop right on that and tag that A.
Let me tell you, if she wants, I will do that.
We'll talk later.
Always Jack. Ready for duty.
All right, so let's get right into this. Were you in Afghanistan when he was taken?
When he was he went. I guess the situation began in what was that? That was August 2009.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. And we were training up for our Afghan mission at this time because this was big news inside the Army.
Okay.
So at the time, I was a specialist, Joe Padula.
Well, you've always been special to us.
We knew about this. We were well aware. And the talk amongst the soldiers was that he was a deserter, to be honest, that he walked out on his own.
So right away, right when this happened, those whispers were already there.
Those whispers were already there from the beginning. For me and my surrounding units, I can only speak of, you know what I mean?
So you were still stateside at the time, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know anybody who participated in the search for him?
No. I know the soldiers' names. I do not know them personally. Nor the 6-4, and I mean, I'm sure you guys discussed the 6 soldiers that died.
Yeah,
yes, we did.
Yeah.
To locate, you know, Bo Bergdahl there, Sergeant Bergdahl.
I could tell you're not a fan.
No, I'm not, to be honest with you. I'm just
That's
not.
Fine.
And as much as I'm happy that a soldier is returned home, of course, but, you know, I mean, 6 went out looking, more than 6, just 6. Never returned.
Right.
When going out looking for this guy.
So what was the mood like in the Army? Because the whispers start right away, and now you're hearing about all these missions to find him. Were the people like, this is a bunch of crap, or was it like, you know what, we don't know all the facts, we're going to get this guy? What was the mood like in the ranks?
If you want to go in the big ranks, even a colonel was talking, and he goes, you see that Specialist Padula? I mean, you know why you don't walk off on your own? Because, let's say, in February of 2010,
mm-hmm.
okay, we went to Fort Polk, Louisiana, which is a base where you train to get ready for deployment.
Okay.
You have a scenario where they make it up to be, like, as close to Afghanistan as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So they send us there 4 months prior to us leaving for Afghanistan in April and May of 2010. So on mission, I kind of walked off a little bit on my own, and because I was corresponding, okay? I was trying to get quotes from soldiers for the story.
Right.
And I kind of walked away from from my team.
Okay.
And I got reprimanded, and my colonel pulled me to the side. And he goes, Specialist Padula, do you understand that there is a kid who walked off by himself, and he right now, he is most likely getting raped by Taliban every night?
No, wait, hold on. Let me stop you there. Does he know this because that's what they do, or is he just using this to scare you?
A little bit of both, because I guarantee you what, Taliban raping me scared me. That's for sure.
Yeah. Right.
It's not really rape if you consent, Joe.
Well, we're not going to have pillow fights with you at night.
Let me tuck you in.
Is that Perry?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still on the show. Hey, I haven't figured out how to get rid of him yet.
Hey.
How you guys doing, all right?
Good, babe. Good, babe.
The conversation. How you doing?
It's all good, babe.
Christ.
But this is what Taliban does. Like, it is Afghan culture, all right, Thursdays in Afghanistan. All right, that's Man Love Thursday, okay? Chai boys, okay? We would go to these meetings, and these chai boys would bring us the chai, and these chai boys were, men are looked as for pleasure, women are as looked as for procreators. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
well,
unfortunately.
Not to me, but yeah.
Yeah, not to me, but I get the gist.
It's very ancient Greek.
That is just a the culture that we were surrounded by down there in Kandahar, Afghanistan.
Okay.
Which is, and so back again, back in Fort Polk, Louisiana, you know, the colonel pulls me to the side. And he goes, he said something else to me that stuck out for me for a while. He goes, I only got two of you. And he's talking about me and Staff Sergeant Hunter. As I mentioned on your show, God rest his, you know, God bless him, and we miss him. We lost him on June 18, 2010. And he goes, I only got two of you. I can't afford to lose any of you. And that's when I really realized the big deal of this bird dog kid. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's when I really started doing research, and that's when I found out about the guys that went out that died trying to do recovery missions and reconnaissance.
So there,
I mean, not just soldiers, not just enlisted guys, but also officers were killed. If this guy, and we got to wait for the reports, because it's all heads right now, you know?
Yep.
But if that report comes back to find out that this kid is deserved, he should be trialed as treason.
Well, let's go back to time, and we'll get to what's going to happen going forward.
Right.
So, initially, there was a lot of resentment amongst the rank and file and the command that, on top of all their other responsibilities, in our very exhausted army, they now had to have this new responsibility of finding this guy who, even then, the whispers were, I heard two whispers, that he walked off or that he was drunk. And now you guys have to clean up his mess.
Right. Our sister division, the 82nd Airborne Division, okay, that he was a part of, and like the 101st, you know, Airborne follows the name of the 82nd Airborne, and Airborne soldiers are your top regular Army guys, okay, and the 82nd guys are they're put in tough scenarios and tough missions.
Well, hold on. I'm glad you bring that up. I'm glad you bring that up, because before you called in, we were just talking about how Bergdahl was in on a waiver. And these waivers, as you know, accept people that in the past we wouldn't have accepted, whether they have a prison record or drug addicts, this, that, the other thing. They say Bergdahl was in on a 20 on a waiver, so how can he be considered one of the best?
And you watch... You watch a lot of Fox News. That's pretty good.
No, I read Rolling Stone. I do watch Fox News. But you know, I have to see what they're doing. I need laughs.
And from the waiver, I don't know what the waiver was for. I don't know what the troubled past was, but I did hear about the waiver. What was it for? Do you remember what it was for?
I don't remember what it was for, but as we discussed, a lot of this comes from the 2012 Rolling Stone piece. But as we discussed,
Crystal.
What?
Is that the one with McChrystal? No, that was...
No.
McChrystal's different.
No, this is just on Bergdahl. But they said that Bergdahl did not even get into the French Foreign Legion. So we got a guy that couldn't get into the French Foreign Legion who now is in our army, and you're telling me he's considered one of the best by accounts of this 2012 article. His unit was complete screw-ups, and he was not very good.
They were undisciplined.
I mean, you bring up a good point, but even our divisions, great divisions that have amazing histories, like the 101st and the 82nd,
mm-hmm.
okay, and he was also part of the 25th Infantry Division. I mean, these are units that parachuted into Normandy. You know, they carry a great lineage. Presidential unit citations, which is the equivalent of the Medal of Honor before a unit.
Right.
You know, and. But even in divisions, you're looking at a large amount of soldiers, and you're going to have some dirtbags in there, you know?
But what's your view on these waivers? I mean, you had to serve with these guys. You say, should we have these waivers?
Currently, those waivers are no longer there, from what I understand.
Really?
The cutbacks, and the, like we discussed the last time I was in studio mm-hmm. with you guys, you know, where the Army is in that tightening the belt phase, where if you suck, you're not going to be a part of this army.
Did you serve?
I don't think that waiver thing is an issue at the time now.
Did you personally serve with people on waivers?
Yeah.
Could you tell the difference between them and people like yourself?
Yeah, they're selfish.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong. You know, one individual I can give an example where, you know, the guy screwed up. You know, he's a misguided kid, and he needed some structure in his life.
Right.
So they got him out of detention facility. It was either, you know, the typical go to jail or go to war. You know what I mean?
See, and to me, and that's what really bothers me a little bit about the story. A lot of things bother me about this story. But it's not really being covered, the fact, and we've talked about this before on the show. Essentially, we had two administrations which broke our armed forces. Mm-hmm. They fought two wars. They had endless deployments and everything. So now you're accepting people that you wouldn't accept before, and people are surprised that this happened. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more, Joe.
Yeah, look at the POW rates. I mean, like I said, you know, when the colonel pulled me to the side, it really woke me up, and it brought awareness to a situation that I think soldiers should be aware of. You know, AWOL, absent without leave, POW, MIA, okay, missing in action, prisoner of war.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing research. I mean, look at the low amount of POW in the Iraq, Afghan battle fronts, you know, in the war on terror.
What do you chalk that up to?
Vietnam, where, I mean, and World War II, Korean War, thousands of POWs. Vietnam, thousands of POWs, MIAs. World War II, hundreds of thousands of prisoners of war. You know, I mean, the numbers in here, and here you can count them on your fingers, the amount of prisoners of war captured in during this Afghan and Iraq battle for the war on terror.
Is that because we're fighting a different war where we don't need as many boots on the ground, or because, you know, these wars, even with the 20% waiver, were a strictly volunteer army, whereas the prior wars were drafts, and you're not going to get the best of the best?
You just nailed partial answers with each statement you just said. You know, and also terrain, a much different terrain, a more open terrain.
Mm-hmm.
And the battle buddy system, okay, even in the soldier's creed, you know, I will never leave a fallen soldier behind. Okay, this is said every morning in formation, in front of in a platoon level, and that is really since day one of basic training.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we were told to learn: never leave a fallen soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that includes you know, our buddies that are hurt on the battlefield, and if they're even KIA, killed in action. We will not leave them behind because we do not. We know what happens when they get in an enemy's hands. They get used as propaganda against families and friends back home.
That's why
we ensure and we do our drills, our dust-off drills, which is returning soldiers.
So then, if you go by that, then even though you personally find Bergdahl's behavior abhorrent, you still have that creed, which you all live by.
And that's why those six guys that died went out knowing, even if it was rumor, if this guy left us alone, they have that creed of, I will never leave a soldier behind. And nonetheless, whether he walked off alone, on his own, was captured, we'll find out when the investigation happens, a soldier was behind. And they went out to ensure that he was not left behind.
Right.
And that I respect to any... And that's why these 6-4, and we got to do what we got to do to make sure that they never get forgotten. You know what I mean?
So to what lengths did we do that? I mean, because the president, that's pretty much what President Obama is leaning on, that the message to our military is, no matter what, we will get you back. But even with that said, a lot of the military have come out and go, well, the price may have been too high for this particular soldier because of the rumors surrounding him. I mean, do you support the president's decision?
Me and the president, we don't agree on everything. You know what I mean? I was talking to him, I was tweeting him the other day. He replied, but maybe next time.
But, you know, no soldiers left behind, but is it worth it for 5 terrorists? You know, is that the trade-off?
That's the situation where I can speak of now, because I'm no longer in uniform. I walk around naked now, and that's fine.
Yeah, we know. We see
saw the abs. We saw the abs.
We see
them.
The stupid selfies. Knock it off.
Awesome.
Yeah, Pip's enjoying himself.
I'm going to put the drop cloth down while Pip thinks about eating your abs.
Hey, that's my job. And mine too. You don't know who those characters are, Joe.
I wash my clothes now. It's fantastic. It's a lot of money. But nonetheless, I mean, the president's, you know, and this is a decision made at a high level, and there's a lot of thought going into it. I mean, was this done as a publicity? Okay, I mean, we're coming, look at all the factors. We're coming down to the end of it. News was just released that soldiers are going to be staying at very low numbers past 2013, 2014.
Right.
And so, I mean, a lot of this is all happening all together at one time. So you got to look at it. Is it calculated, all of these maneuvers? Is it strategic militarily, or is it strategic politically? I mean, there's a lot of things going on, happening all at once. Afghanistan is once again on the headline news.
But even if
Afghanistan wasn't trending in all of May, pretty much.
But Joe, even if this was strategic, let's say this was all for show. The fact of the matter is, the fact of the matter is, we still got our guy back. Which, if that's the creed, forget about what Obama's motives were. And I to think that they did it for show just really gives a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's ugly.
I don't think they would do that. But the fact of the matter is,
but it still has to be brought up in conversation. Now, I'm not saying Obama. I'm talking about all political members who were involved in this decision making.
Well,
you gotta remember, it's not just the president that pulled the trigger on an order. You know, he is advised by top generals, the Joint Chiefs of Staff. You know, the man gets information fed to him. And I'm not a Democrat. You know what I mean?
No, but
I'm more conservative than liberal. But I'm not against the president's decision on saying yes. Let us get our guy back.
Well, that's my problem with this is, like, I don't think it's an easy decision. And you see these politicians going on Fox News and CNN, whatever, trying to make points on the president. I don't really think this is one of those things. I kind of look at it like, you know what, if you're in that man's position, what are you going to do? Say no? And if you have the intelligence that this guy could be days, weeks, months ahead from dying, Are you gonna be able to live with yourself the rest of your life to know that you could have gotten him back and you did not? And the fact that and then if you don't get him back and you could have gotten him back, those six soldiers who died trying to find him all die for naught. They all die for nothing then.
But at the release of five of the most dangerous terrorists,
it's this very steep price.
I mean, during the Cold War, it was a spy for a spy. You've seen it all, like the DMV.
Inflation, Joe. Nothing's worth what it
used
to be.
But I don't. But me personally, I think for
we're looking at now with the and speaking of dying, and I don't mean to make light of it. Did you see Obama's hair? Okay, very interesting color that he chose there.
Wow. And you can listen to Joe Padula in Clarksville, Tennessee with more comedy like that.
Yes,
wow.
The five terrorists that were, it was put out that the information was retrieved, maximum information that was retrieved, that they got out of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't, what they had to do with the five terrorists. So if they utilize the capacity of these terrorists, then I mean, why not turn them back?
Well, because you're afraid.
We don't have five guys captured over there.
Well, thank goodness for that. Because
Because
these guys are highly dangerous. These are the high up muckety mucks, and it's feared and rightfully so that after
did you
the
say muckety muck?
I did.
Yes,
I did.
That's a special Taliban term.
Muckety mucks.
<Joe's laughing. laughs>
That these guys when they're done with whatever they're doing in Qatar, and we don't have any direct supervision of them in a year, that they're going to go back towards plotting against the United States, and more Americans, whether they be soldiers or civilians, are going to die. Mm-hmm. I mean, these aren't the camel washers that we released. These are like some of the brains of the organization. So that's why there's been such a backlash.
I mean, if you're, I hate to put rank on life, but yeah, I mean, if you're trading five generals for one sergeant, I mean, there is going to be conversation.
And that's essentially what they did.
Right.
So, you know, and it's very interesting, because at the end of the day, a U.S. soldier is home. Is he still in Germany? Is that where he still is?
Yeah, he's in Germany, yeah.
So Dr. Good, okay. So there he is. He's in Germany, all right? And he's in the arms of an American organization. And for that, of course, part of me is yay. Clapping.
Yeah.
Okay. But then, like there's the other points that are being brought up. Now, Taliban has five captains, and they're going, yay.
They're using it as propaganda.
No, they're going la 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 la.
But that's another thing where they're kind of coming down on Obama, you know, the right wing. Well, they're using a, you know, the Taliban is counting this as a win.
Yeah, of course they would.
Yeah, but that shouldn't be surprised. So if this all comes out in the wash that Bergdahl did leave on his own volition, and ultimately, he is court-martialed. If he is court-martialed, is this all a huge mistake on our part? Should we have left him there, or was it still worth it?
No. Every morning, I woke up, put on some physical training clothes, also known as PT attire. I stood in front of my first sergeant with my other battle buddy, and I said at the position of attention, I will never leave a fallen comrade. And, man, they went after him. We tried to get him back. We sent people.
Yeah.
Killed in action. We will never forget those who tried to uphold the soldier's creed. I will never leave a fallen comrade.
So what's your opinion of the people in the military that have come out, even those that have served with him, and are very negative towards this, not even just towards Bergdahl, which seems to be across the board, even though, you know, we don't know his side of the story yet, but they're very negative to the fact that we traded five terrorists with them. I mean, they had the same credo you had, but they don't feel the same way you do. What's your take on that?
You have to be open for discussion, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have the intelligence, okay? As a soldier, you have to have the intelligence to look at all of... I mean, let's look at a strategic point, okay? If you're on mission, all right? If say you're on the battlefield, you're given a mission, you're going to assess every situation and every opportunity before you implement your mission. It is the same way with this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You have to assess all of the scenarios before you act on it. I think people are opening their mouth way too quick before knowing what they're going to have come out of it.
I agree with
now,
you.
I've all listened to that myself with many things. I mean, that's why I'm still single at age 34.
Smart man.
And he puts out a plea to get laid.
I get laid often. It's very good. You know, but
you got those chai boys?
Yes, very good. That's how I know. That's why I'm a subject matter expert.
Well, they're just for pleasure, Joe.
Those chai boys talk.
Next week, we'll be interviewing one of Sergeant Padula's chai boys on the den.
That's right. His name is Lucy. Very nice.
His name is Lucy. Is it true that Sergeant Padula flies at half staff?
It depends. It really depends. Nonetheless, I mean, I am a... And more of it now today than I was, I would say, even 3 years ago. Okay? Be willing to have a conversation, even on a heated subject like this, because this is an emotional subject.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is a topic where people really get fired up, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Harness those emotions for a little bit. Listen to other people and hear what they have to say, even if it's not what you agree with. Hear what they have to say, because they have something to say, whether it's ridiculous or not. It's a part of the conversation.
Well, yeah. The people who have opposed this say it sends a bad message that we negotiated with terrorists, and there's going to be more impetus to kidnap our soldiers. My feeling is, if they could have kidnapped our soldiers all along, they would have. And now, perhaps, if they do get their hands on a soldier, instead of killing him, maybe they will kidnap him. You know, and I think it sends a better message, and I might be wrong, I think it sends a better message to our military's families that we will do anything to get your loved one back. What do you think?
You know, since you practically led that question, I appreciate it, by the way.
I'm half a pro.
Yeah. I mean, of course, I am pro getting soldiers back to their families. Of course, you know, being on our mission and being involved in firefights where you're like, man, I better keep up with my boys or else I'm not going to be keeping up with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm so happy that family has closure now.
Right.
Knowing, and I'm sure they're in Germany with the soldier.
No, not yet.
So, you know, they get kind of out of the loop. But yeah. But at the same point, you bring up a very good point, that now you're sending an image or a message to enemy that, yes, we do negotiate. But guess what? We do negotiate. That's how you solve problems. You assess, negotiate, implement.
Mm-hmm.
It's all part of the answer solution. But hey, you know, I'm always down to learn, and you guys provide me information. Like Gavin,
yes.
Joe, what was your guys' thought? How did you think I was going to answer this question overall?
You know, I thought you would, judging from, I didn't, when I came up with the interview, I didn't know what you were going to say. But I'm not surprised after hearing you speak that you answered it the way you have. I think your responses to these questions have been more enlightened, honestly, than the people that, Fox and CNN or MSNBC, whoever you want to go to, has put up to speak on behalf of whichever side. I think, except for the people that have said, well, let's wait and see, we've had, unfortunately, some very unenlightened and polarizing people placed by the mass media in front of us, which helps form the opinions of the unwashed masses who don't do the research. That's what I think. That's why I didn't know what you were going to say when I discussed this. I just knew that you would tell me what you thought, which is what I wanted.
Right.
Now, Joe, you and I, we see eye to eye on a lot of things when it comes to political views and opinions. Your overall thought, I mean, on Taliban successfully negotiating with the American government.
The whole thing on that is when the dust settles, because there was a lot of good points made. When the dust settles on this, I want to find out what the reason was that it was five terrorists, and what the reason was that they were some of the most dangerous terrorists that we had. Looking back on the facts, Joe, when I was on Facebook, one of my nephews is a retired colonel from the Army. He also was in country doing some private sector stuff, and also was an Army Ranger. And he had some buddies. Oh, yeah. No, he's a great guy. Thank you. And he posted something from the people in the unit that was saying that the guy deserted and, you know, well, pretty much a lot of the stuff that we were discussing on the show. And when he closed out in his thing, he said, just wait until the rumblings from the written ranks start to bubble to the surface of the, you know, the social media sites. So there's been a lot of that. But to counter that, it goes back to what you were saying, no soldier left behind. Now, with that is a creed, and that is what we should be going by. But in the negotiation process, the whole thing that concerns me, why five and why the most dangerous?
But we don't know if they're the most dangerous. We know they're dangerous.
Yeah.
There could be other creeps there. We don't know everybody's there.
Well, it didn't seem like these guys were, you know, the Easter bunnies that they let out, you know?
No, but I just object to the adjective.
But did we haven't gotten the answer, why five and why those guys? That is something that is almost going to close the book on both arguments.
Well, I think because we only have one, so, and we really want this guy back. We value life more than they do. If those guys die, if they commit suicide, or they die in Guantanamo, they're martyrs.
And
they're celebrated in death.
Right, and if they go out and they go into back into the theater of operations and carry out more suicide missions and IUDs and stuff like that, that could be more soldiers killed. Mm-hmm. So you might be,
I got a quick one, Joe, for you. Well, first of all, my co-host just pulled up, Samantha G.
Hello, Samantha G.
Hi, Samantha.
How you doing,
all
right? We're talking with Davin and the team of the Davin Band, made up of Joe Curry and Pip Hewitt.
Yeah, I feel important.
Yeah, she goes, okay, Sam is...
Sam's a big fan.
We'll
can tell.
We'll pause while she stands there enamored.
She's anti-sodomy?
Yeah, well, not for sodomy. That's right. Very good answer.
I bet you guys don't discuss that on your show.
Yeah, really.
we do. With innuendos. Good use of innuendos.
Well,
sodomy is innuendo.
No, sodomy's not. I see what you did there. Sodomy's...
We'll give you that one. That's all right.
Sodomy's the correct term. You don't have to dance around sodomy, yeah. Joe. Go right for sodomy, Joe.
Let me tell you, I go for sodomy most of the time. But I got a question for you, actually. You know, if you don't mind.
No.
You know, as a female, okay, and you know, say that's your son. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, what's your thought when you first hear of this soldier? Not the rumors or allegations that he walked off, which again I believe he did. But it's your kid, and he's over there, and he's no longer in the at least the safety net of his unit, but now in the and you have no information out of him, just that he is with Taliban. What's your thought?
Well, I mean, I'm
abroad.
I'm not as...
What a classy guy.
I love that man. I love that man.
Not for nothing, but as a dame.
Him and I see out of you.
So listen here. As a broad... No. I'm not a mother, so unless we're talking cats, I'm not really going to bring out the maternal vibe and answer. But just... What? My pussy's been abducted?
I'll tell you what, Padula's really missed this show.
Let's say one of the cats is abducted by the tabby band. All right? And they got it.
As a woman, I mean, you're a nurturing person. I've always appreciated your hugs. You can tell from your hugs alone that you're a nurturer. You know?
Aww.
You're feeling so this is so very dear to you. What's your views if this is someone that you have love for that has gone missing?
If it was my own son, no matter what he had done, of course I would be beside myself and just hoping that the military would be able to find him and bring him back safely. And, I mean, when it's your own cub, you don't think about, oh, how many Taliban is my son worth? 100. 1,000.
All of them.
You know, all of them. Everybody in Guantanamo Bay, let them out. You don't think in those terms. But as just, I'm not a mom. As a person, as a citizen hearing this, my first feeling is that it is our obligation. You still there? Did you hang up?
Hello?
Like obligation, right.
Oh, okay.
I
thought we lost you, Joe.
I thought
we
lost the sodomy.
Yeah. Two great words he loves together.
As a non-bred, as a guy, like I mean, man, you bring a different angle to it, and I appreciate your opinion on that. Your authentic opinion at that.
Well, thank you.
She is nothing if not authentic.
But just as a.
And that's the problem. I think some people provide non-authentic opinions in this argument, and in many arguments, to be honest with you.
Yes, and we see them all the time on the news.
Will create real
pollution. Yes.
Well, one of the other things, Joe, speaking as a breasted American, I think that her non-breasted,
or
it doesn't
one.
Matter. Just as an American.
She's got enough breasted Americans to speak for a village.
Bring them all. The thing is that no matter what he did or what his thinking was when he stepped off base, what
the hell are you
what
doing?
What the hell?
What was that?
Then you just hear zipping.
I love that.
Sorry.
You're the one that asked her the question, for Christ's sake. You could have been out of here and regretting the mistake you just made if you hadn't asked her the question.
What was the question? All
right. You know
for
what?
For Christ's sake.
You know what? Wow. Forget about the stupid question. We all value Pip's opinion. Sure we do. Joe, we want to thank you for your time. We don't want to keep you from whatever things that you won't tell your mother about in a few minutes. Joe, where can people hear your show?
I'm telling you, every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, okay? You can check out the Joe Padula show. If you're in the Tennessee area, Okay, tune your radio dial to 1400 AM. But, not for nothing, just go to Facebook page. There's the links. You can listen to it online on your phone. It's all there. Just go to Joe Padula Show on Facebook. Click like. Oh, yeah, follow me, like me, subscribe to me. We're so vain. I love it.
Well, Joe,
fondle me.
Thank you for joining the show. Hey, don't be a stranger. I know there's people in the den pen that miss your antics.
Yes.
I know. I miss you guys a lot. I really do. It's been so crazy and busy here. Me and Samantha G. I mean, we really created the most popular show in this city over here.
Sounds like you were creating something else a couple of minutes ago.
It's where talk radio meets live music. We get guest, live performance, and all fun in between.
You know who's not been a guest on their show at all?
Who?
Me.
Yeah.
Tell you. If you guys are in town, in the area, you have an open seat.
Yeah, because phones don't work.
Absolutely.
Phones don't work. You can't do call-ins, can you? Stupid.
Yeah, if you want, you can. You just can't curse. Please don't.
I wouldn't. When the first time you did our show, we were at FCC. It was fine.
Yeah, this is true. I actually like that show better than others.
Thanks.
Thanks.
We don't curse that much now. You're the one that brought sodomy into all this.
Yeah, but no, Samantha G brought sodomy into this.
Well, if anybody's going to do
nice.
It, I'm glad.
A girl.
I'm glad Samantha G did. She's a team player.
Wow, if we get on your show, I promise not to talk about my vagina the entire time.
Let me tell you, I really do appreciate what you guys do. You guys bring authentic conversation to the table, and that's something that I really do believe is lacking, not just in radio, but in real-life conversation. So I appreciate what you guys do.
Well, thanks, pal.
Thanks, pal.
We'll talk to you soon. Thank you for your time and your honest opinions on all this. Have a good one, and give Samantha G the old high hardware for the team back here.
Love you, brother. Take care.
Love you guys, too. I'll talk to you soon.
All right,
bye, Joe. Joe Padula, everyone. Joe Padula.
Awesome guy. even if he's too busy getting sodomized, I can't listen to my answer to his
really,
question.
Really weird ending to a series. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I could tell he was just getting distracted.
Yeah. I know. I was more interested in what was happening to him than what I was talking
about.
It's
like, you know what? We'll get that answer another day. Joe, it was unzip. He'd take a picture of my abs, and that feels nice.
Yeah, I was like, what am I missing? Too bad we don't have those video phones. So we could see his end of the conversation.
That was good stuff. Let's take our final break,
yep.
And then we'll come back with some scammery stuff.
All right, be right back, kids.